In this episode of Pop Culture Weekly, I talk once again with the amazing Kristen Chenoweth, and this time she's joined by the amazing Alan Cumming, all about Schmigadoon Season 2. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello and welcome to Kyle McMahon. Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and thank you for hanging out with me and listening, enjoying pop culture and all about pop culture. We have a really cool episode for you today. I'm excited because once again, I am talking with Kristen Chenoweth, performer, actor, producer, director. I'm sure she's directed stuff. And all around great freaking person, by the way. She is so awesome. I love her. And I'm talking to her all about Schmigadoon Season 2. And she is joined by the one and only Alan Cumming. If for some reason you haven't watched Schmigadoon on Apple TV Plus, in the show notes, I have the link to my interviews with the cast of Season 1. It was the all-musical episode. We were going to do an all-musical episode for Season 2, but a few things fell through the cracks, and we didn't. But instead, you know, you get me and Kristen and Alan. So where do you even start with Kristen Chenoweth? She is a powerhouse. Her voice is incredible. You know, she is an incredible singer. I mean, she's a Tony Award winner for Best Featured Actress. Got a second Tony nom for Glinda in the musical Wicked, which she originated, by the way. She's been on The West Wing, Pushing Daisies. She won a Primetime Emmy, actually, for Outstanding Supporting Actress for Pushing Daisies. She also starred in GCB, which I believe stands for Good Christian Bitches. And of course, she is in Schmigadoon, and that's like just a little taste of the incredible Kristen Chenoweth. I mean, she's really a powerhouse, and I love her, and she's awesome. She is joined today, and he's first time on the show, Alan Cumming, who, hello, Alan Cumming is freaking awesome. He played, by the way, I mean, this is, he would probably be like, that's what you're announcing me as, but he played Kurt Wagner / Nightcrawler in the X-Men films, which I, you know, I'm a huge X-Men nerd, so I like geeking out over that. But, you know, he's also got some like stage work. He's like world renowned for his acting on stage. And he's been in like GoldenEye, that James Bond movie, Emma. He was Fig and Floop in the Spy Kids trilogy. He was in The Good Wife for like 6 years. He was nominated for 3 Primetime Emmys, 2 Screen Actors Guild Awards, 2 Golden Globe Awards, and a Satellite Award. And of course, he is on Schmigadoon. So, yeah, 2 really powerhouse people in both film and television and stage. Love them. Let's get into my interview with Alan Cumming and Kristen Chenoweth. So, first of all, congratulations on Schmigadoon Season 2. It is so awesome, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, good.
Yes, it is so much fun. And Kristen, when I talked to you about this for Season 1, I've never seen a Broadway show yet. And I'm going to come see you.
Better.
I will. For me, I feel like Josh in a lot of ways, where I'm kind of like in some ways out of the loop, but it is so freaking enjoyable that it doesn't matter. And it's just so creative in so many ways. You know, what is it like for both of you? You know, what is it like to do a series like this that is, you know, playing with so many of the great works that you both have been involved in?
Well, for me, I don't know how you felt, Alan, but when I opened the script, every one of them, I think, okay, how is he going to surprise me this time? because, you know, we do this for a living. And so then he ups the ante with these genius ideas and Easter eggs all over the place, you know? So to kind of make us go, all right, you know, when we do this, this is what we do. It's cool.
And I think like I'm a little bit like Josh in that, especially in the first series, I didn't know a lot of the musicals that we were parodying. So I sort of liked doing the show as a sort of learning curve on all those musicals. This season, I'm kind of a bit more, that's more my jam. So I was aware of the parodies of them more, but it's just really, I mean, I think the great thing about this show, as you are demonstrating, is that you actually can enjoy it on a level that doesn't, you probably recognize some of the tunes and some of the clever things he's doing, but you don't necessarily need to be a total theater geek to love it. I think that's another level of stuff that you can get, but actually, of course, it stands up on its own as just a really clever piece of writing and hopefully performing.
And I totally agree. I mean, I think everybody in the cast and of course, you know, behind the scenes, obviously, it's just everything clicks and everybody just seems like they're having fun, you know, in this world that has been created. You know, obviously it's still work, but it's got to be, I feel like, especially for you two, to be enjoyable to go into this world that's been created, which is, you know, such big parts of your lives in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, just like wandering around at work with a bloody apron and yellow teeth and holding a cleaver. I mean, that's it's like sort of Halloween every day. And in the first season as well, kind of having a big curly mustache and being so jolly. Yeah, it's funny to play such extreme characters is really fun. I look forward to what else we might get to do together.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just said it like, there was one night, and Alan will remember it because I was really ticked off at the time, but now it's really, really funny. There was one night where everybody was wrapped, and I was, you know, I had the gross teeth and the wig and the rotted nails and, you know, just uncomfortable corset, which I bitched about all the time. And it was like late night shoot. We were done at like 11. And there was some sort of confusion about me going back to get my hair done. Or they said they were going to do it on set. Do you remember this, Alan?
Yes.
So I waited, and my hair and makeup people were back in the trailer waiting. There was a confusion. So I waited there, and then everybody's like, good night, Kristen. I'm like, bye, bye. And Alan's like, see you later tomorrow. I'm like, bye. And then people were like packing up the costumes and the chairs and moving the sets. And I was like, good night. Bye. And finally, I was like, there's something wrong. And a PA comes up and goes, oh, Kristen, you're still here. I was like, yeah, I'm not sleeping like Miss Cogwell. So anyway, I finally got back. I was like the last man standing. All the crew was gone. Like, but they were shutting off the lights. I was like, so finally I got back to the right place. But yeah, it was fun to live in her for a while.
You don't want to go home. You don't want to go home like Miss Cogwell.
No.
And Kristen, for you, the accent is so like, is that something you practice ahead of time without the script? Meaning like, do you just practice the accent with the script itself? Or do you like do the whole character's accent and then do the script? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I had made an early decision, which when I got the script, I asked Cinco if it would be okay. I started speaking that way all the time, and it drove Josh, my fiance, nuts. He's like, please stop talking like that. I was doing concerts, and they were like, what's the audiences were confused. I remember we were on the road, and we went to a place called Bucky's. It's a like a grand, like a huge 7-Eleven, and they even sell clothes and like candles and things like that. Anyway, I went in there, and I was like, hello, everyone. And when Josh was like, shut up, just shut up. So I talked like that for about a month, just all the time to get it in my mouth. And then I made a decision with Cinco if it would be okay if my accent was good, but also not great, so that people would go, she's actually, you know, like an Easter egg. Like,
right.
Okay, that were, you know, it was fun because I've actually done that accent twice before in a movie and in a TV show. So it was fun, but it was just fun to make it a little off too.
I love it. And do we lose Alan?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going.
I don't know where he went.
But so speaking of 7-Eleven, we'll get back to Schmigadoon in a second. But I heard that you love 7-Eleven and I'm obsessed with 7-Eleven.
Kyle, I love 7-Eleven.
Yeah, she loves.
Alan, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I think something went funny with my headphones.
Okay, we're talking about 7-Eleven, so you can go ahead and close your ears. I love it so much. Have you had their pizza?
I have their pizza at least once a week.
And the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are also good in a rush if you're in a...
I have not had those. I'm going to have to try them. I'm eating Ozempic or eating Ozempic. I'm doing Ozempic, which is, you know, here or there. But what'd you say?
I've heard that people are having success. Are you diabetic?
No, it's I'm on this medicine for anxiety, which causes weight gain. And I was working with a trainer, a nutritionist, trying to get it off. And then it was not coming off. So they were like, try this, you know, and see what I you know.
Well, then don't go have the PB&J at 7-Eleven because.
I know. But I love peanut butter and jelly and I love 7-Eleven. I love their pizza is so good. It's like $8 for like an entire pizza or something. It's ridiculous.
Yes, and Alan, just so you know, they're having healthy Slurpees now. Vitamin zero in the blueberry or pomegranate Slurpee.
I saw your Instagram story about it. I don't why you're not the ambassador for 7-Eleven and Slurpees in general. I don't know. They're missing trick.
Alan gave me a Slurpee machine and I've used up all the flavors he gave me. The grape's my favorite, by the way. About a year and a half ago, I put it up on my Instagram story. It's so nice to have that, you know, but I'm not at home all the time. So that's when
also, that's amazing. You know, I was saying the other day when I went to get your Slurpee when you were in quarantine the first time. And I went into 7-Eleven. This is such a white boy thing. I went, hello. I've come to get a Slurpee. And they just looked at me like I was an alien. And I'm like, yeah. And I went, where do you keep your Slurpees? And they're like, up the bat. I didn't realize you had to do all that. You know, like, I was like, you know, Taylor the Latte Boy, like he's doing, pushing the lever to get the triple latte. It's quite hard work doing a Slurpee. There's more to it than, I thought you just bought one.
That's why I gave the tutorial online for people to understand how to do it.
they're amazing. I love that you have one at your house. That's absolutely incredible. Speaking of eating, Good Enough to Eat is such a fun song. And I love, oh my God, it's just masterful in the way both of you, you know, perform this. As actors, you get these kind of what I feel like are like kind of, and not to be funny, but juicy roles. Is it like as fun to play these types of roles as it is for us to watch you perform them?
Hopefully. I mean, yeah. I know. It was hilarious. I mean, hilarious. And just every moment you're doing it, you just think, I mean, for me, I think for both of us, we're doing this thing. And every moment we're doing it, we're thinking, this is so sick and wrong. It's when you basically your entire being is just like, oh my God, I love that I'm talking about mutilating children as I'm singing this jolly song. It's hilarious.
So fun. I mean, I might have said to Alan at one point, I wonder if they'll have a patty, if they'll show a patty with like a ponytail sticking out. That's when I knew. On to the next scene.
It's just so masterfully, you know, I can't say it enough. It's just so masterfully done in so many ways. And one of the huge things that as season one ended, you know, I'm like, I was hoping obviously for a second season and I'm like, we'll just return to Schmigadoon. You know what I mean? I mean, that I would have been fine with that. Instead, they came up with this genius idea and, you know, you're in Schmicago and I love how the players are playing, which, you know, the show self-references. There we go.
Yes, there you are.
And how you are playing different characters in this world. And Josh, you know, makes a comment about it. You know, oh, there's the mayor. And you're like, You know, I love that. Were you, as you were doing, and I don't know if you could tell me this yet, but as you were doing season one, did you know that if there was a season two, it would go in a completely different world?
Yeah, we did know that, didn't we? Because Cinco said he had these ideas. And so, yeah, I think we were aware that where to go for a second one, it would be. I mean, it's this new thing, I suppose, it's in television now, with this sort of anthology thing where you have the same, like a repertory troupe of actors playing different roles. Like Ryan Murphy's done it so well with all his series. So I think it's such great fun because, you know, it's great to be in a long-running series, but inevitably you're just playing the same character again and again and again and again. Whereas with this, it's just like doing a totally different thing each time, and yet you feel you're still part of that company and you know everybody, and it's not like starting anew each time. I love it.
I do too. It's like our own little, we say this a lot, we're like a troupe. Mm. And finally the music theater reigns, you know?
Yeah.
I can't.
The nerds will inherit the earth.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I said the nerds will inherit the earth.
Absolutely. I can't thank you both enough for speaking with me. Schmigadoon season two is just as delectable as season one. And I can't wait for hopefully more forever and ever, ever. Thank you both so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Of course. And Kristen, I'm going to come see you on your tour. I think you're doing Mid-Atlantic at some point, so I'll come see.
Yeah, I am, and you must, and I promise that to embarrass you terribly when you come.
Thank you very much. Thank you both.
I'm coming in, Kristen Chenoweth. The finale of Schmigadoon Season 2 is out right now, and it is awesome. I love Schmigadoon so much. I cannot stop talking about it. You know, I raved about it for like months when season one came out. I was like so hyped about it. Season two came out, and it's like so surprisingly, you know, sometimes like when a great show ends a season and like that story is told, you're like, okay, you know, what can they do next? That's not what happens here. It's really awesome. I really super creative. The songs are so catchy. Bread pudding. And I just love it. So go check out Schmigadoon season two on Apple TV Plus right now. And next week, we have Ellie Kemper and Zach Cherry. The week after, we have Kate Mara and the class of 09. The week after that, maybe Jane Fonda. The week after that, maybe Robert De Niro. Who knows? You just got to stay tuned and see if that happens, you know? In any event, you make the show continue to grow by reviewing on Apple Podcasts and sharing to socials your favorite episodes and clips and all that, and I love you for it. Please continue to tweet me, although I'm not using Twitter as much now since, you know, it's gone downhill a bit. But, or, you know, whatever. Email me, Facebook me, Instagram me, whatever, and let's keep the conversation on pop culture going on your favorite or not favorite movies, music, TV series, tech, whatever it is, let's do it. All right? I'll see you next week. I love you. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
This is the anti-musical episode. We had an all-musical episode last year. It went over really well, but some things happened and I can't tell you what they were unless you ask me directly. Anyway, this is the anti-musical episode of Pop Culture Weekly. I don't know what rhymes with weekly, so I'm just gonna end the song.